Hey, Project Zan podcast listeners, this is Blake Smith coming to you with a special episode. In February of this year, Robin Linkhart sat down with the creators of Ministry for Dummies, Umberto Tinsman and Jacob Ross. And at that episode, we promised that we would be cross-posting some of their episodes here at Project Zion Podcast so that we could help increase their listenership as well. So without further ado, here is Ministry for Dummies.
Welcome to Ministry for Dummies, a Community of Christ podcast hosted by the Community of Christ Southern USA Mission Field. All are welcomed here, and the stories and opinions that are shared here are a part of our story and do not necessarily reflect on the official position of the Community of Christ. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What is up? What is up, everybody? Episode number two. We did not get canceled.
I mean, not yet.
Not yet.
It's always
yet.
Time.
I would say the podcast is still very young. Welcome, welcome, everybody. And if you are joining us for our second episode, congrats for making it through with my terrible audio quality. I actually did go get a microphone after that first episode. So
that's why they passed the plate.
Exactly. Hopefully it is better. And we are so appreciative of all those who have come back. But yeah.
Or are just finding us. Right.
Or are just finding us. Exactly. Like I said, the podcast is still young.
It is quite young. I mean, what else has been going on, Bert? I mean, besides getting a good mic and sparing everybody's ears, I mean, what else is going on?
Yeah, so it's been a busy time in my life. So we had senior high camp for Camp Cianito. Shout out to Camp Cianito. Really, really awesome camp. We took a couple kids from New Mexico over. We had a great, great time. I got very, very tan. It was like over 100 almost every single day with a humidity of like 50 or 60%.
Relatable content. I actually don't know the numbers,
but yeah, it felt terrible. It was awful.
Welcome to my life. But
yeah, exactly.
Welcome to Houston.
The camp was awesome. And had a really, really great time. And then Emily, my wife, and I, we celebrated our 1 year wedding anniversary.
Congratulations!
Thank you.
A year and a day from that, I got COVID.
I know.
A great wedding favorite.
So Jacob was one of my groomsmen in that wedding, and we all got COVID afterwards. We were the super spreader of the church. Super fun.
Yeah, that's one of the words.
Yeah, exactly. But I honestly wanted to text all the groomsmen and be like, happy 1 year anniversary from having COVID. Hope you didn't get it again. But Emily did not find that funny. So I
find
it
funny.
I like to joke about it, but Emily's not there yet.
A funny story yet.
It's not a funny story yet. She is a little bit better because her biggest fear was like, what if someone died? She would have felt very guilty, which I completely understand. But
they didn't. Also, so we're all good so far.
Exactly. Everyone's fine. Everyone's good. It's a good time. So yeah, no, it was an awesome, awesome time. I was glad I was able to make it back in time for our anniversary. Literally, I dropped off the kids the day of our anniversary. So cut that one kind of close, but it was a good time. But
that
yeah,
is.
Jacob was... I know. Jacob, what's going on with you? What's going on in your world?
Oh, man. It's been, well, I guess it's been 2 weeks since we recorded because you were at camp. So in that time span, my fiance and I, we signed up to volunteer at the Houston, well, technically Harris County Animal Shelter. So we started volunteering there. So that's
been an
interesting experience. What else happened? Allie's my fiance. So Allie's mom came to visit this past weekend. So we had a blast. Let's see, what did we do? We went to a water park. That was tons of fun, actually. Went to a water park, went to church. Yeah. We saw Wicked, actually. That was the big thing we did. We saw Wicked in Houston. It was phenomenal. I mean, it was so good. It's a great show. If you can see it, dear listener, You should absolutely see it. I mean, it's a fantastic show. Other than that, I have the sermon this upcoming Sunday at church. I have not started writing that sermon. I'm not sure if we're even doing a sermon because Allie is presiding. We may mix up our format and do a guided discussion.
Dang.
Just trying to keep it fresh.
Yeah, definitely. Keeping it real. Love that. I love that you both are involved like that. That's awesome.
Oh, we're very involved.
I got to meet a lot of people from the Houston area and Houston congregation at camps. That was really cool to meet people who knew Jacob. Shout out to all those folks. Yeah, that's really cool, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, as with most small congregations, we travel a lot. So it feels like every week that we're there, we're doing something, right? Because, I play the piano. So, like, it's a 50% chance anyways. So,
yeah, definitely can be a blessing. Definitely can be a little bit tiring.
Double-edged at times. Sword, for sure.
Exactly. For sure. Exactly. I like being involved as well. This week has just gone flown by because I did take Tuesday off for our anniversary to kind of celebrate. Monday off to celebrate our anniversary, and we had a really fun time. We went to go see the new Flash movie. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Really liked it.
There's like 5 or 6 movies in theaters I need to see. I gotta see the Spider-Man movie too.
That is on my list to see when I come back from junior high camp. But I wanted to see the Flash movie because I'm a huge Batman fan of anyone who knows me. And seeing Michael Keaton reprise his role as Batman was phenomenal. He dropped a couple of lines that I was squeezing Emily's hand and she was dying laughing. There is the end scene of that movie is insane. I will not spoil it on this podcast, but it is. They use one because it's a PG-13 movie. So warning to all those who go to it in a PG-13 movie, you are allowed one F-bomb and they used it in the most perfect way possible. and I absolutely loved it and died laughing. But yeah, no, I thought it was really good. I'm not a huge fan of the person of the actual person of the actor of Flash because of things he has done.
Yeah.
Enough said. But the movie was fantastic. Really, really enjoyed it. So awesome. Yeah. Well, that's a little update of our life, our little small talk. But our topic today is camps. If you do not know, if you're not a member of the Community of Christ, our summers are almost always jam-packed with youth camps, with reunions, with retreats. And Jacob and I, we thought, okay, it is that time, it's that season. Let's talk about camps and why are camps important and why the Community of Christ put such a special emphasis on camps, not just in the United States, not just in our field, but all across the world.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not even just like Community of Christ that does camp as a, I don't want to say bonding experience, but at a time of reflection, it's bonding experience is really what it is, right? Like
definitely a rich ministry.
Yeah. Definitely a good ministry opportunity, like across sex. Right. So
definitely
it's, I don't know if tried and true. It's a proven method.
Yeah, definitely. And for our church, it's really, really special. not because of just all the things that Jacob said, but, for those who are brand new to the tradition of Community of Christ, our first reunion, the very first reunion that was held in like the 1800s after the shattering of all the different Latter-day Saint groups. And when our church was starting to be founded, we invited a lot of those groups to what was known as the first reunion. And it was very different than what we experience now, where they had preaching services from 6 a.m. to about sundown. And they were all in suits. And it was in Nauvoo. I think it was in Nauvoo. I could be wrong. Someone in church history is definitely going to fact check me and make me look like an idiot. But the main story is that, like, it became this way of coming back together after so much trauma and rebuilding that sanctuary, rebuilding those relationships. And then from that, this seed of Community of Christ camps has just spread all over the United States and over the world. And it all started there of, hey, we have been in trauma. We've missed everyone. We've been scattered all across the U.S. Let's come together. Let's worship, build that Zionic community. And now we have the modern camping system that we have, which is phenomenal, in my opinion.
I mean, I agree with that, right? I mean, admittedly biased, right? Having grown up going to camp and stuff like that. It's a more palatable format to me than, preaching from 6 to sundown. It's, just natural evolution of the times, but I think when I think about camps, I think about the camping opportunities, I think of how things have evolved over time, and it is a fascinating evolution.
Most definitely. Most definitely. So I think that kind of segues us perfect now that we've kind of introduced camps. Jacob, what camp did you attend? Because I shouldn't say every state, but like every congregation goes to specific camps. in the church. So, Jacob, what camp did you attend growing up?
I attended a church campground called Temple Grove, which is in northwestern Pennsylvania. And I attended, reunions when I was a kid, and then, from third grade until 12th grade, various, youth camps there as well. And, it remains a very special place to me because of that.
Awesome. So I attended Camp Ozark, or Racine, or Wakanda. It's been gone through many names because we love rebranding in our church. And it's close to the Joplin area. Joplin might sound familiar because of that big tornado that happened a couple years ago. And I shouldn't say a couple years ago, but
probably about a decade ago now, right?
About a decade ago, which is crazy to think. But that's the campgrounds that I attended. Very, very special grounds to me. I grew up there, spent almost every single summer there that I can imagine. And then I ended up working for the campgrounds, for 4 years as their lifeguard and grounds, crew, and learned a lot, not just about myself, but about ministry. And I got to see a lot of camps that are not church affiliated at those grounds that definitely have ministry elements in them. Love that campgrounds. I don't think we talked about this last episode, but I got to serve at Graceland, what's called a Graceland rep. And that's a program that Graceland University offers where you go to different campgrounds. And I've gotten to see a lot of different campgrounds through that and through some other travels with the church. And while they were each special, while I love Sacramento Mount Retreat, while I love Camp Sanito, those are the two grounds that I work with right now. Your campground that you grew up with is always kind of your home campground. And there's lots of transplants, in this area who come to Albuquerque for work or who've moved to Texas for work. Jacob, you are one of those people, definitely. Mm-hmm. And when you think of camp, I don't know if this is for you, Jacob, but that home campground is always your home.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's
exactly.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and that's not a dig at any of the other facilities. Trust me, Ozark, I love Camp Ozark. It does not have, I shouldn't say it does have the nicest facilities. It has great facilities, but I've been to camps that have, Camp Blue Water up in Michigan. Shout out to them. They have beachfront property on one of the Great Lakes. You can't beat that. There's no swimming pool or dining hall that you can build that can beat watching an ocean liner go across the Canadian U.S. border. But still, when I think of my home campground, that is the first one that pops in my mind.
Yeah, and I think as we talk about memories we have associated with those places, right? Like a lot of formulative memories, and I think about now reflecting back, opportunities to interact with people I'd never met before and form relationships with people from different areas. I think a lot of that happened at camp, because when I was in third grade, all my friends were either, from my school, from my church, or direct relatives. I mean, I think that's a fair, you either grew up with them or you were related to them at that age. And I didn't really have the opportunity to branch out. But I had the opportunity to go to camp and meet people from different areas and have to, build relationships and learn how to do all of that, social skills like that. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. For me, camp was always my sanctuary, very much. We sing a song called Sanctuary across the Community of Christ. And that was Camp Ozark for me. I don't want to get too hot and heavy for a second episode, but growing up, I'm someone from Latin descent. I grew up in the Bible Belt, very, very conservative areas, and so feeling that racism almost on a daily basis, camp was that one escape, because I knew everyone who was on those grounds was a person that loved me. And that was something that was so special, a community that I could never truly articulate to my friends, that never understood, why are you going to camp? Why do you spend literally all of your time there? And I was like, when you create that community, or when you are part of that community, you desperately want to not just be, re a part of it, but you want to share it with people. I have so many special memories of, kind of finding myself dealing with a lot of stuff that I went through throughout the school year, and camp really, really helped me battle through those things, which was really, really helpful, especially for my future, because it taught me how to take care of my own mental health, how to take care of my spiritual health. Definitely some amazing ministry and memories from those times.
Winner.
That's the other thing. Okay, I'm going to reveal behind the scenes. Jacob has this amazing soundboard, and it sounds fantastic when I listen to the recording. I can't hear it, though. So Jacob literally can be doing all these things in the background. We'll never know it until post, and I look forward to hearing it. Well, so
you'll never know it. I will know it because I can hear it. I have all these sound effects queued up. I have some good ones on here, mostly sports related. But anyways, I agree with that. I think it's always... To me, it holds a special place because admittedly, I am biased. It is a good ministry opportunity because I grew up in that. And we talk about how we do things as a church. I think it's harder and harder for people like me. For example, I have a limited PTO and I have to choose when to use it. And I don't have enough right now to reasonably go to camp and take it because I live away from my family. So I take PTO to see them, for the holidays or other occasions. So it's hard to do that. Certainly, it is harder and harder to do that. There's not much else to say there. I think, it's just a general point.
No, and I think, especially as we kind of look as an organization, both the Community of Christ and then, a broader view looking at Christianity, that's increasingly becoming a huge issue. And I hate the word issue because it sounds like we're immediately combative, but, like you said, you have to determine where your PTO is, where that ranking is. And, I don't want to brag on Emily, but yeah, she can't stay for all of reunion because, hey, I only have so many days of PTO. We're using them here, here, and here for family. Again, Jacob and I, we both live away from our families. And so that's hard. And I know there's a lot of people, a lot of young adults who are in our kind of shoes that if they could be at camp, their home campgrounds or their local campgrounds, they would do it in a heartbeat. It is a financial and PTO expense. And I'm not saying that that's just always how it is. Things definitely get better. Jacob and I, we're kind of in the position of life where we're still learning how to balance that. And our families are definitely still learning that, but I know that is not a unique experience at all. And especially when you're kind of in our shoes, Camp San Ynito for us is a 10-hour drive. That's a lot. We break it up in 2 days for the kids. And if I didn't work for the church, I definitely couldn't do that. Take 10 days off, twice. Yeah, that's 20 days right then and there.
Yeah.
And I mean, Jacob lives in Houston. How long is the drive from Houston to San Ynito?
Man, I mean, I've never actually been to San Ynito. So thanks for exposing me. But
sorry.
No, you're all good. From what I have heard, it's about 6 hours.
Yeah, 6 hours. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's 12 hours there and back,
assuming you left after work on a normal day, you get there at like 11:30.
Yeah.
Depending who's driving.
But people still do it. And this is hyping up definitely Coastal Bend Mission Center. Because the way that campgrounds work in the Community of Christ, a lot of times it's only one campground per state. Sometimes they'll have two or three. Missouri has a lot because that's the headquarters of the church. They have a lot more church population. But San Ynito is the only campgrounds for Texas, from my understanding.
It is. You're right.
And so everyone has to funnel there, everyone has to go there, and it's awesome because everyone has that commonality. I know reunion is going on right now as we speak, and I think there's 200 people there, which is fantastic. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of community that's being built, people learning how to live together. And I think for me, that was always the coolest part of reunion because you're living with complete strangers a lot of times for an entire week. And you meet people, you get deep in relationships, but there's also that factor of if you only have a bathhouse of 6 showers and you have 200 people, you got to figure out that system. There's no way of trying to, be isolated. You are living in community. And I think, that's why I definitely have that personal bias. My top three camps to go to reunion senior high camp spectacular, and they always shift of where they fall in. But you know, I love reunion because it's all families. I love senior high camp because that's high school age, and so those kids are asking a lot of important questions and are kind of going through, you know, those building blocks of life. Love Spectacular. Spectacular is the national community of Christ camp. That's where all kids from all the United States comes to Graceland University and Canada. I don't want to forget our Canadian friends. Yeah. So, you know, it is an international camp. And when we were going to Spec, it was like 1,000 kids there. Those numbers obviously dipped because of COVID, because, you know, it was a COVID year and there were still questions about vaccines and things like that. Thankfully, you know, we're hoping that more and more kids will come. I think we're going to have around 5 from New Mexico. So that's great from us. So yeah, it's, you know, Spec is awesome. Jacob, if you want to talk about Spec, please do. It's an amazing experience.
Yeah. It's a good opportunity to, you know, meet people from all around the country. And I mean, the experience itself, bonding with the people you're there with, it's definitely a really positive experience. At least it was for me. I'm not going to speak for everybody. I know people have had varied experiences there, but I think it's a great opportunity to just build relationships with people. You know, I mean, that's what it all boils down to at the end of it. Right. I mean,
I
don't know if you want to jump into this now, but I mean, while we're there, right, like our question of the day here is, do camps matter? Or like, are they worth it financially? Is the rewards you reap, whether that's spiritually or interpersonally, is it worth what we do for them? You know,
my very, very biased answer, 100% yes. I see especially the financial side of the camps working for the church. Spectacular this year cost $650 per camper. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of funds. And a lot of our campers are on scholarship, which means the congregation or mission center is having to eat those funds. But here's the deal. And here's what I'll say about camp as I knock off my microphone off my desk, because I speak with my hands. I took 3 kids to senior high camp this year, and I'm not going to share their names for privacy, but you know, one of those kids shared with me they have never experienced that type of love before in their entire life. Another kid who was not ours, who was at the camp, you know, said, you know, we talk about shalom, which is, you know, this God's community, and I never really got it until I was at this camp because I feel complete. And if you can do that for a kid, if you can show them that vulnerability of God's love, of a communal love, you've changed their entire world perspective. Because now the question becomes, why don't I feel that in my school? Why don't I feel that in my church? How can I feel that in my community, in my church? And I think that was my ending message to them at the end of camp. Don't let this momentum slip away. If you have felt love here, go and spread that love. It is possible to live with complete strangers and do so in a way that uplifts and loves. So from my very, very biased standpoint, 100% yes. It is worth all the frustrations, all the headaches of the planning, of the financial aspects, because running camps are very expensive. You know, the insurance alone, it is insane how much we have to pay for insurance. Getting kids to camp is very expensive. While they're there, we have to feed them. You know, yeah, there are all those things. But those people who have been through camp and have that spiritual experience now have a connection with the church and with their spirituality that is impossible to recreate in any other format, in my opinion. But that is definitely a very, very biased outlook. And I should also mention, I met Emily at Spectacular. So like, my life has just been so impacted greatly by camping programs of the Community of Christ that, yes, I'm always going to sing their praises, even when they get tough. But yeah, that's my opinion. Jacob, what is yours? You, especially from the financial side, I'd love to hear your thought process.
I think from maybe a more practical side, I think it's a necessity at this point. I can't speak for you, Bert, but like, I'm going to ask you, like, how many kids did you grow up going to camp with or going to church with on a weekly basis?
Yeah. On a weekly basis, if we had like 4 kids, we had like 4 main kids that always kind of showed up. And then we had like other kids who would like, they'd show up like once a month. So like maybe like 10 kids in total, but all different age ranges.
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up with 4 to 6, like depending on the week. And I mean, that's only shrunk. So I think realistically, in terms of youth outreach, like that's it. I mean, for our congregation in Houston, we have like, sometimes we have a family with 4 girls that shows up on a week, right? Like, and they're there as far as kids go, but like, there's not a youth group. Like, as far as opportunities for kids to network with other kids in the church and to build a connection like that, I mean, just from like a long-term future view, I think it's a necessity. Like, how are you building relationships with people in the church? You're not doing it at the congregation level, like at least for us. I mean, our average age is 60 plus, right? You're not, if you're a kid, you're not building relationships with your peers at your congregation. And that's just, that's nationwide. I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, I've been to church in 5 different states. I can say all of them are the same.
Yeah.
Except Independence. And even then it's pretty darn close. It's getting there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So definitely. I think you have to, like, in terms of building a base for the church and establishing, you know, a feeling of belonging, a feeling of shalom in that kind of community, that's it. You're not getting that on a week-to-week basis in Sunday school or doing youth events with your congregation, likely. I mean, at least not right now in most places. So no matter what the cost is, it's worth it. You're building that. You're building that community for people.
Definitely. And I love what you talk about networking, because, yeah, like, those relationships last.
Yeah.
You know, my best man was Jake Matlock at my wedding, and we met at camp. You know, and that relationship started at camp and continued to grow, and it's still a relationship I have. And, you know, there are some who question, like, oh, well, does it really last? And we see them as kids and they drop off. But here's the deal. They come back. Like, you know, I was on with the staff that we were on, every single person that was there on staff, and there was about, I think, like 20 staff members in total at that camp. They were all campers at one point. And, you know, the majority of them were young adults my age, which was awesome to see. So I really hope they're listening to this podcast. Hello. Yeah. But yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Like, camp is not just a flyby affair. It is planting the seed of a relationship. It is up to the congregations then to take up that seed and to make sure that it doesn't just be a, oh yeah, that was really cool, I went to camp when I was 18. Like, no, this is where we plant the seed. We now need to foster it so it becomes a actual relationship.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100% there. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I'm sure we'll get into this more. It is a frustrating situation, you know, in terms of our base, but a lot of people's ministry is camp, right? A lot of people, like, that's what they feel called to do. That's like, I had this formative experience at camp. I want to return that and pay that forward.
Definitely.
Most ministry, right? You want to pay it forward. You should want to pay it forward, in my opinion. Exactly. But
yeah, 100%. 100% yes. You know, and yeah, we've kind of gone down that rabbit hole, but I want to make sure we land it. We were told something, Jacob, when we were in House Presidents together, and that is 90%. Nate Wood told me this one time, and I think you were there for this conversation. 90% of what we do is done in the aftercare.
Yeah.
And I think that is so applicable to congregation ministry and camping ministry, because you don't want to lose that momentum. Because, yeah, you've had a spiritual experience. Don't just say cool and then walk away, you know, chase after that. Like, you know, that is a state of being you can live in sustainably. The issue is, do you choose to live in it sustainably? Do you have the people around you who are pushing you to live it sustainably?
Yeah.
And I think when we don't have that aftercare, that's when camps become the question mark, you know? But if we are doing our jobs as ministers and as congregation leaders of making sure, like, hey, I know, you know, Billy and Tommy or whatever, you know, went to camp, let me give them a phone call, or let me give their parents a text and say, like, hey, I know they went to camp. I know camp can sometimes be a vulnerable experience. Tell me how it was, you know, and that's what I've been doing. I called the parent and told them, like, how much fun their kid had. And it was awesome. Like, that was a great conversation of, like, yeah, like, I can tell, like, they are changed because of that. So yeah, just making sure that seed is planted and then is watered and nurtured as we go.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. All right, it's just, it's important to capitalize on that next kind of Definitely. Opportunities. That sounds really, really cold. But maybe that's just where I am in terms of how I feel.
I was going to say, this has been a very serious conversation. I want to end it lighthearted because camps are fun.
They are fun. And you're right. Like, networking is important. Like, when this is, you know, just a church story, but I grew up going to camp. My best friend at camp, and one of my best friends to this day, his name is Zach Koontz. He's from Cleveland, Ohio. I would have never, ever met him in my life if it were not for Community of Christ camps. And I went to Iowa State out of college, and I ended up going to Graceland middle of the year in January. And when I got to Graceland, the relationship I had with Zach, the relationship I had from people I met at Spectacular, it allowed me to land on my feet. And it's because of opportunities like that that I have a job today, which is a connection through an alum, or well, a Grayson-related person, right? So it is important to, you know, it's just a networking opportunity. The end of it.
Yeah. Definitely.
Anyways, back to the lighthearted stuff.
I was going to say, let's get light. We've talked all about the logistics. This is not on our sheet, but I just wanted to ask it. What is your best funny memory of camp? Like, what is your just like, every time I think of it, I smile. You know, what is that memory for you?
Man, I got a sick memory. One of the funnier things that happened at camp was we did messy games every year, which is like mud, or, you know, get sprayed with condiments, like everything, right? Everything you can imagine. Just Twister with paint, stuff like that. And it was supposed to be scheduled for the Thursday, but there was a camper who had not showered, so they moved it up until Wednesday because everybody, and this was a camper who was like swimming in the lake at Temple Grove. Temple Grove has a lake, right? So they were like swimming in the lake and you know, we're doing activities outside, so we're sweating, and they had not showered the whole week.
Oh,
so
nasty.
They changed it to Wednesday so that this camper would be forced to shower. I can't. Every time I think of that, I laugh. It just brings a smile to my face. I have other like really wholesome memories with, you know, my cousins, right? Because I went to camp with my cousins. So I just have really positive memories of time spent with them, and you know, people who I would consider just like cousins. I mean, I can think of one time it was super, super rainy, and normally you just walk from the dining hall back to the cabins, but my cousin was one of the counselors, and we drove in his car, and he drifted his car in the grass on the way back because it was, you know, slick, so he just did some donuts outside our cabin. That's like just, and it was a Mitsubishi Lancer, and there were six campers plus a driver in this little Mitsubishi Lancer. It was great memories. What about you?
I was going to say, World Church, remember, we're all cool here. We're all friends here, man.
We're all friends. Don't shut it didn't down. Happen. Theoretically, if that had happened, it would be a positive memory for people.
Theoretically. Let me think. Okay, I have a ton of camp memories, like Jacob said. Let me think. One of my favorites, I was leading a campfire song, and it is the Austrian Went Yodeling.
Classic.
And so for that. Classic song. And so for that song, you get a lot of volunteers, and you do specific motions. And one of them is camp counselor. You know, and Austrian went yodeling when a long came a camp counselor who interrupted his cry, and the camp counselor yells to the audience, "Please shut up," you know, saying like to your campers, "Please be quiet." And I was leading that, I think, with Jake, and like, if you know me, I get into it, campfire songs, like I want to be energetic, I use my body a lot. And so what I was doing is like I was bending my knees and shaking my hands like, "Please shut up." And when I did that on the very last go around, blew out my pants, ripped my pants in front of this entire senior high camp. And like, I had to it was like, and then like, Umberto's going to lead this next song. And I was like, actually, I have a lifeguard emergency. The pool needs more chlorine. And like, I had to go to the director and be like, okay, hey, I'm going to be real with you. I got to leave. I just blew out my pants and they died laughing. So I had to go. So that's a very fond memory. Another one that I have. So, like I said, I worked grounds crew for my campgrounds, and I have many very fun memories with Kevin Nesbitt. Shout out to him. His nickname for me was Wild Bill. you know, he was an old, you know, Kansas dude, and I loved him. But one time, we had just had our large reunion, so like 200-person reunion come down, and all the RV camper slots were taken up. And so someone had shoved some PVC pipe down that drainage where all the sewage goes through. So we had to dig out the top of the septic tank, and he had to play Roto-Rooter and drill that piece of PVC pipe out. And my job was to make sure it didn't drop into the septic tank, because it was the actual cap. Because you need those caps to make sure,
this,
you know, gas and varmints and things don't get in. Exactly. So I'm at the end of it, and you know, a little bit of water is coming out and some other material from a 200 person camp, because it all flows into that septic tank. So the lodge is on the top of the hill, RV spots are on the bottom, it all flows downhill, literally. And so he's playing Roto-Rooter Man, and I see the piece of the pipe, and I go, Kevin, I see it. And he's like, grab it. So I grabbed it with a pair of, you know, those like dog or trash picker upper, you know, yeah, robo clippers.
Yeah.
I grabbed it. There was back pressure because, you know, it acted like a gun, and I got sprayed head to toe.
No
of stuff.
Way. Oh, no.
Head to toe.
I am shuddering. You guys can't see this.
Everything, you know, and then everything also comes up because it's that smell. And that was the only day that Kevin gave me a full day off. He took one look at me and he was like, ooh, you know, I think you get the rest of the day off for that. And I tell you what, I spent 3 hours, like I literally, no joke, no exaggeration, I spent 3 hours showering. Still to this day, I can go back. And unfortunately, I smell that smell. That was not the, and fun fact, that wasn't the worst smell I ever had to smell at that campgrounds. But that was just memorable because, like, a director from a movie couldn't script that better. I see it.
Yeah, that's like a comedy scene. That's legit happened in comedy movies.
It was disgusting. It was truly one of the worst moments of my life. But also, I still laugh because, like, that is such a campground story of like a slew of errors all being made. It literally rolling downhill. So yes, that, yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Oh, give me a soundbite, Jacob.
Let's see. I think I got one.
I want to hear it.
Appropriate.
Very nice. All righty. Well, we are getting to the end of our conversation here tonight, or the morning, or whenever you are listening to this podcast. And we would usually end our time with answering your questions or comments that we have, but we don't have any because none of you have visited our website yet. So if you would please head over to ministryfordummies.org. The link will be on the podcast because for some reason, Google is giving us issues with it. Fill out the question form because we want to hear your questions and we want to be able to respond to them and talk about them. I think, Jacob, that leads us to the outro.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you all for listening. We look forward to getting to share with you once again. And, Berto, we'll be thinking of you while you're at camp this week. So, good luck. All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Project Zion Podcast. For more from Project Zion Podcast, look us up at projectzionpodcast.org or find us on any of your favorite podcast platforms. If you'd like to hear more from Ministry for Dummies, look them up at ministryfordummies.org. Have a great day.